sing it out this morning. It's a pleasure to have this opportunity to come before you and share with you a portion of God's Word. It's good to be back. Got a couple of milestones, I guess, since the last time we were out here. Baby girl turned 7 months. That was important. And we had an opportunity these last couple weekends in Vegas. I guess we've been celebrating our youth. We had a youth event in North Las Vegas last Saturday. We had a youth event kind of in the Centennial area, the Bright Angel Church of Christ. Had one yesterday. So it's been refreshing to get so many opportunities recently to work with the youth and see the next generation getting ready to come forward with their own service. But as we jump into this morning's worship service, I'm happy to be out here amongst you. I'm grateful for the brothers, the song service. It's always good to have somebody come in and lead us in song. So I thank you for helping lead our focusing our minds on the Lord as we prepare to hear a portion of God's Word. Before we jump into my message for this morning, is there anyone in need of a Bible? Anyone? Where's you got it? One. All right. Anyone in need of a Bible so that you can follow along with our message this morning? We come from a couple of different places this morning. My message starts this morning in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But that was really more than my focus verse. It was really more what got my mind flowing on this particular topic. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 is a well-known scripture. It was when I read it recently, I think in the NIV, that something caught my eye that I hadn't thought about before. And the King James, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." It was part of something I was trying to share with our young people about patience. Right, like I said, obviously, whether you're young or old, we all struggle with patience from time to time. And part of that is just our understanding of time is very different than God's. Right? Like, we work on a very different schedule, right? We know what we're going to do tomorrow. We think we know what we're going to do on Thursday. Right? Like, our context of time is different. But it was when I read it in the NIV that it translated it slightly differently there in the beginning that took me down a different path. There it says, "But do not forget this one thing," right? Instead of "be not ignorant of this one thing," it said, "Do not forget this one thing, dear friends, that with the Lord a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." And "do not forget this one thing" is what got me going, as the truth is, all of us forget more than one thing. Right? So, it's a good reminder, because we forget many things. Myself included, very much included. But I think Peter's saying, don't forget the Lord, and don't forget that the Lord's view of time is different than ours. He's not limited by time. I think it's why they replaced ignorant with forget. Right, because what Peter was trying to really express there is don't forget that the Lord's view of time is different than ours. He's not limited by time as we are. Don't forget that God is faithful and will do what he says he's going to do. Right? But we're forgetful about many things. We forget God at times. We do forget what his word says. I also hit, what was November 12th? That was another one of my recent milestones earlier. That was my spiritual birthday. Turned 35, which does not mean I was baptized at birth. It means, but probably when I was closer to Priya's age, and I am getting up there now. But I had my 35th spiritual birthday a week ago. But I still forget what God's word says. Right, so I can tell you, no matter where you are on your own spiritual birthdays, if you think you're going to stop forgetting, I haven't gotten there yet. The number isn't 35. We forget at times. We forget at times what we heard at church last Sunday. Right? Some things that come in and out of our mind need to be forgotten. And so forgetting isn't always a bad thing. Sometimes we dwell on things and they dig in as regrets, and we're still dwelling on them and dwelling on them and dwelling on them. But let's... Other things we need to remember. And one of the things that we need to remember, we need not forget, is people. And this week is when we tend to try and reflect. Right? Like I said earlier in my Bible study, it's just even a worldly custom. So I'm not talking about as the church. Right? I'm talking about in our communities, with our friends, with our family. Right? We tend to reflect, if we're ever going to, throughout our calendar year, on the people this week. So I want to focus my message on that this morning. For I want us to think about people and remembering people in four different ways. Trying to keep it to four, hoping we can all retain. One, I want us to remember the good in people and commend. I want us to, number two, remember the hurt and pray. Right? Third, I want us to remember the need and serve. Right? And fourth, I want us to remember the dead and praise. So I'm going to start, as I said, with remembering the good and commend. And for that, I want you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. Right, in Romans chapter 13, it's there in verse 7 where it says, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, honor to whom honor is due." Right? And easy to read, that translates as, give everyone what you owe him. If you owe him taxes, pay taxes. Mm-hmm. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. And if honor, then honor. Right? We need to honor people when they do good. Right? We know how to criticize, we know how to condemn, right? But we need to honor people when they do good. Brothers and sisters, I don't think we should do this by fishing for compliments. I'm not trying to encourage that. But I do think we should be quick to give compliment when people do well in life, right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs." When the writer is saying unwholesome talk, what could that be? Unwholesome talk, criticism. Talk that builds. When the writer is saying there in verse 29, only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Right? Talk that builds is talk that commends or appreciates or praises or encourages. We all need to zero in on the good in people's lives. Watch for that good. Keep your eyes and ears open for that good in people. Then don't hesitate to say something positive about them. Okay? Try not to leave it for the Thursday in November. Like, say something positive. Show your appreciation. The idea I'm talking about here in Scripture, Ephesians 4, chapter 29, only what is helpful in building others. I'm not trying to get you to do it so that you can win friends and influence people like some politician walking around kissing babies. As I said, I'm not talking about fishing for compliments or doing things for the sake of doing. I'm talking about, as it talks about in Scripture, you know, knowing that if it's sincere if it is true in your heart that by so doing will encourage them to continue to doing even more good. Right? That's the purpose of it in Scripture. Right? I saw an illustration written one time that said, you know, and again, I don't know whether it was a true illustration. It's probably one of those Reader's Digest things. Everybody remember Reader's Digest? You got those illustrations and anecdotes in them. Right? I read one time that said, one morning, a man opened the door to get his newspaper. So, you know, this is back in the day when that happened. and he was surprised to see a strange little dog with the paper in his mouth. Delighted with this unexpected delivery service, he fed the dog some treats. And the following morning, he was horrified to see the same dog sitting in front of his door, wagging his tail, surrounded by 8 newspapers. So he spent the rest of the morning having to return the newspapers to their rightful owner. Right? But a little building him up, a little commending, a little encouraging. Right? When you praise people for their good, they're more encouraged to do good. Right? Remember the good and commend them. That's number one. Number two, remember the hurt and pray. Right? For this, I'm going to start in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. I'll use verse 36. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he being Jesus, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." We know throughout the gospel that when Jesus saw hurting people, what did he do? Right? When he saw the hurt in people, right? We must learn today to see the hurt in others before we can do something for them. Right? At times we just don't want to see it. Right, thinking that if we don't look at it, well, then it won't pull on us. Right, if it doesn't pull on us, then we don't have to take action. Right, like, but we—that's not how Christ behaved when he interacted and moved amongst us. Right, he saw the hurt. Right, he was moved with compassion when he moved through multitudes. Right, and the first question for you goes back to like, how's your vision? Right. I know when if I don't want to see something, trust me, I can just go like this. I don't see anything. Right? All just a bunch of blurs. Right? And whether you're nearsighted or farsighted, right? How is your spiritual vision? Right? Ephesians 6 and 18 says to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And you can't pray for your brothers and sisters if you don't interact with them and know who's hurting, who's struggling, who's going through trouble, who's going through sorrow. How can you pray for them? Right? It's one of the things that makes it obvious. You know, I know in the pandemic, right, we needed Zoom. Right? And now it's over. We need to come back into assembly because we need to be amongst each other for the multitude of reasons. But one of the reasons being is brothers and sisters, as the body, as the church, we need to be amongst each other. Right? We can't carry out our expectation of praying for one another if we don't have a method of seeing each other struggle. Right? And I know, I get it. You can exchange prayer requests on a text thread or on an email, right? Like, but I can't say, you all have gone through the experience where you've seen somebody and seen the hurt in their eyes, right? And seen that they're struggling with something, right? And hopefully you didn't move on, right? Like, but there's something to being among one another, right? in the way we are supposed to serve. When we see someone hurt, right? James chapter 5. Well, I think first, before we get dark, oh, turn your Bibles to James chapter 5. That's where I'm going. But I think anytime we pray for people, it does some good. But it will do even more good when we tell them that we're praying. Sometimes the only thing we can do for someone is to pray for someone. Right? We're not all physicians. Like, we don't all have the substance through which to fix what ails each of us. But James chapter 5, verse 14 is where James says, "Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him." Right? And I don't think that praying for the sick and hurting should be limited to the leadership of the church. I don't think that's what James is trying to say either. Right? I think when he's the reference to the elders, just referencing to those that looked out after the flock, right, and took that responsibility more seriously amongst them. Right? But each of us have an opportunity to pray one for another. And most of the time, right, when we think of our congregations today, we want and demand that our preachers go see people in the hospital. But I still think it's a rare but spiritual blessing when anyone in the church takes time out of their day to go check in on or visit someone that is sick or shut in. And whether that struggle is physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. Right? Like, not everything is a physical ailment, right? Check in on one another, right? Make sure we can assist. Remember the hurt and pray. My third one, right? You already forgot the first one. We go back. My third one, remember the need and serve, right? God wants us to serve one another in love. He wants us to use our gifts to serve one another any way we can. Right? That's what we saw in the first century church. That's what we saw in the book of Acts, right? Everyone parting amongst themselves those things and giving out to those that lacked. Right? When we see the need, we serve. Galatians 5, verse 13 says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." Right? This makes it clear. I'm not trying to command you to serve one another where you're having to do it out of necessity. Right? Like, I want you to give cheerfully, willingly, right? And that's not just around a collection plate, right? You have talent, you have time, you have empathy, you have all these gifts you can give to one another, right? And as that verse is talking about, you know, do not use your freedom to indulge our sinful nature. That's what I say, like, for me, I just have to get out of being lazy. Right? Like, it's not that I'm all, you know, indulging my sinful nature doesn't mean I'm gambling in a casino or I'm into. So, no, I mean, for me, it's, you know, like, I know when I need to rest, right? Like, and then I know when I need to get up and get going, right? And if I can get up and get going to help others, right? And it's changed over my life. I need more rest now than I needed as a younger man, right? Like, but so I'm not trying to say everybody should be moving at the same speed, right? Like, but do not indulge in the sinful nature, right? Instead, we're encouraged to serve one another in love, right? The way Peter wrote it in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, right? Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. That's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Chapter 4, verse 10. Right? And I think, you know, because I know you've had experience with God's word, Right? I think there was a reference this morning, maybe in our Bible study, somebody made the reference to Matthew chapter 26. So if we turn to, or Matthew chapter 25, turn to Matthew chapter 25. It's Matthew chapter 25 where I'm going to paraphrase incorrectly, starting at verse 35. Hands, guys. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, 35 through around 39. We know these verses, right? But I don't know. There's something going on in our modern culture that I don't want us as the church getting caught up in. Right? Too much of what I hear in modern culture takes these verses and I'll read them first from the King James, where it says, I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. And that's when the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see thee hungry, or feed thee, thirsty, and gave thee drink? When did we see you a stranger and took you in, naked and clothed thee? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you shall have done it unto me. All those are acts of service, right, that we've used. It's been in the gospel now for 2,000 years, right? We've readily understood them. But it seems like we're getting, you know, I don't know if it's some new translation that just doesn't stay faithfully to the King James, but we have even Christians now that, you know, when it says, I was hungry, you form a resource group to discuss my hunger, right? When I was in prison, you stayed away and you prayed for my release. When I was naked, in your mind, you debated the morality of my appearance. When I was sick, you thanked God and you knelt to pray for your own health. When I was homeless, you preached to me of the spiritual shelter of the love of God. These are all perversions. When I was lonely, you left me alone to pray for me. Somewhere these perversions have come out where they seem so holy and close, but they're not attending to the need anymore. They're not willing to serve the need, right? And again, that's also in these verses. We know there were the sheep and the goats, right? That, you know, but you got to make sure you're not on the goats. Right? If you're really trying to be team sheep, you got to stay on script. Right? It's not enough, right, to just see the need. Talked about vision earlier, right? Like, but it's not enough just to see it. You got to see the need and then serve. Right? That's what Christ was saying in these illustrations. Right? There are times when we need to go beyond prayer. Because I said number two was to see the, remember the hurt and pray, right? But there are times where we have to go beyond that prayer and do something for someone, right? And that's where, again, we like to think of it this time of year. We have, you know, the Salvation Army will do its Thursday feedings, and those things are good, right? But we don't need in the church to rely on the Salvation Army to do those actions. We're called upon to be doing that one for another as our brothers and sisters in Christ continuously. Right? See the need and serve. Whether it's someone at your work, a neighbor, ask yourself, whom can I help? Right? And once you see the need, serve. Fourth one, remember the dead and praise. Right? We're all surrounded, or many of us, so I can't say we're all, but many of us have been surrounded throughout our life with a great cloud of Christians who have gone on before us. Right? I know I can reflect, and I made this comment in Bible study, when we think of Thanksgiving, that often happens at Thanksgiving. You gather around friends and family, and you not only are thankful for those that are there, but you at times reflect on who's missing, right? And are appreciative for those who have gone on before us. And we need to remember those Christians and thank God to them for their godly example, right? The Hebrew writer said, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Right? And that's us saying. When he's talking about that great cloud of witnesses, those Christians in our lives that have gone on, whether it was a parent, a grandparent, an elder inside of the body who helped you. Yeah, we don't all have them, but many of us had them, right? That helped us when we were younger, right? And let us run our own race now that's been marked out for us, right? And see who we can help along our journey, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 and 14 puts it, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men and have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep with him." The dead in Christ are not dead. We will see them again. What a glorious hope we have in Christ, according to the scripture. We should find it reassuring when Christian people die strong in the faith. Amen. Not all do, and we get sad about that. And we also get sad because we miss them. Right? They were a part of our lives, and they're not there to interact with in the way they were before. But somehow we must learn to walk by our faith when it comes to matters of death. We must commit our loved ones to God in faith, and we ourselves must die in our faith, right? That's all I really have for you this morning. An encouraging word to think about remembering people in four ways. So what were they again? Remember the good and commend. Remember the hurt and pray. Remember the need and serve. And then remember the dead and praise. So before I let you go, I'm going to give you one last scripture. Two, maybe. One last scripture, though, to think about. Second is just an illustration. The last scripture for today is from James. It's James chapter 4, verse 2. Right? James chapter 4, verse 2 starts by saying, "You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have but cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not." It's part of James chapter 4, verse 2. That simple expression at the end, "You have not because you ask not." It's such a simple expression. You have not because you ask not. Too many of us are missing out on blessings because you aren't asking God. Right? Now again, in the context of this chapter, he then goes on to say, "You ask and receive not because you ask amiss after your own selfish lust." So I know the broader context in which he's saying it. Right? But there are things that God is willing to bless you with that you have not because you ask not. Right? You're still trying to solve it yourself. You're still wrestling with it on your own. Your own troubles you're taking on without the Lord. Some of us have been trying to figure it out and handle it ourselves for years. Right? But the scripture says, you have not because you ask not. Right? I reflected, an illustration of this is in Matthew chapter 9. It's pretty well known. Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 22, right, where it says, behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him, being Christ, and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. You have not because you ask not. Right? She sought out Christ because she said within herself, if I can just touch his garment, I'll be made whole. Right? Her faith drove her to seek out the Lord. Right? I've personally reached the age where every time I go to a doctor's appointment and get some favorable results, I thank the Lord. I don't know, I wasn't always there. So in my youth, doctor's appointments were nuisances. Right? They were physical because I had to play a sport or I needed it to check something off a list. But I've reached that age where now I go, I get my tests, and if it comes back clean, I thank the Lord. And a few weeks ago, I had a big one. Right? Cancer got my father, it got his father before him. Right? So this year, I had my own birthday, I said 2 weeks ago. So this year, I went and got a colonoscopy. And I prayed to the Lord, because as you know, I have a 7-month-old, a 9-year-old, and an 11-year-old. Right? If you could just let this test be favorable. And when they gave me the sedative, they put me under, I was at peace. And I woke up 30 minutes later, with a clean exam, and thank the Lord. Now, I know that's not always going to be the case, but I'm going to keep asking the Lord. Because if you have not, it's because you ask not. If the Lord's word says I need to ask, I'm going to ask. And then when the Lord blesses me, right, God created me and gave me the little simple things that I could do. Right, the little things I could remember. I could remember the good. I could remember the hurt. I could remember those in need. I could remember the dead. And I can remember to ask for those things I stand in need of. Right? If you can remember those things, right, you can have the opportunity at salvation that Christ has given to each of us. Right? What you've done this morning is you've heard God's word. Right, if you heard God's word and you believe it, then you have an opportunity to change. Right? We have all fallen short of the glory of God. We talked about that in our Bible study this morning. All men are liars. Right? We don't say that because it hits you a certain way. If you're new to God's word, it doesn't feel good. Right? But we've all fallen short of the glory of God. But we all have an opportunity if we're willing to change. If we're willing to repent, turn away from that sin, right, and commit to following the Lord. We can confess our faith in Christ. Then if you're willing to confess your faith in Christ, you can put Christ on in baptism and have an opportunity at salvation. So if there's any amongst us this morning who is not a Christian, you have not been baptized with a knowledgeable decision on your part, right, Mark 16 and 16 says, we need to be completely immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins. Right? Then what I'm calling you on today is to make the decision to become part of God's family. If you're not a member of the church, you've spent the quality time this morning hearing God's word. And your Heavenly Father wants you, his lost child, to come and be welcomed into the family. If you're already in the body of Christ, but you recognize you haven't been living in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, you've been blessed. You're here. You made it. You made it to your opportunity to change, right? To come back, start over, thank God for his mercy, right? And your reasonable health that allowed you to reach today. You just start over this morning, right? Repent and come back to doing the will of the Father before it's too late. While together we stand and sing together the song of invitation, number 345.
In the comfort of the Lord, shall our time shall be no more.